Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Is It Ever Okay to Complain to God?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you for a few moments about complaining, especially about complaining to God. Do you guys ever feel like complaining to God about your problems, pouring out your troubles, your frustrations, maybe even your anger to God at your present life, your situation that you're facing, the trouble that's challenging you right now, your present lot in life? Let's talk about complaining today. And though we could talk about complaining to each other, which I'll make a comment on in passing, and that is a worthy subject really for an entire different subject, a service to complaining to each other. But today I'd like to talk about complaining to God, uttering your complaints to the Almighty, speaking of your troubles to your Creator and Father above. And especially, let's take a look at this. Is it ever okay for us to complain to God? Is it always right to do that? Or is there also a wrong way to complain to God? And is it sometimes right and sometimes wrong? Well, let's take a look at what God teaches us today in complaining in the Bible, so that we can go in the right way and avoid the wrong way. So let's take a look there and see what we can learn. Complaining. Okay, so number one, let's just define what it is to complain. Okay, to complain according to Webster's Dictionary is two definitions. Number one, the first definition for complaining is to express pain, grief, or discontent at someone or something. You know, I'm so grieved over this. I'm so sad over that. I'm distraught over this. I'm angry about that. That would be expressing your heart, right? That's one definition. The second definition of complaining, according to Webster, is to make a formal accusation or charge against someone for a wrong or injustice they did to you or to somebody else. You know, I'm so upset, you could say, at this person's actions. That was so wrong. Or I'm so upset at the government. They're so evil. You're making accusations against people or things. So those are the two definitions. And you could have, I could say, a third. It's a combo. You know, order to go to McDonald's, and I'll take a number three. The combo is to give him your griefs, pains, troubles, but also while expressing to that person, whoever it is, they're wrong. They're the reason you're having trouble. It's all their fault. Okay, so you can combo those two as well. But don't supersize it. So, do we complain in these kinds of ways to each other about the things we're experiencing in life? You know, our griefs and troubles. Do you share those kinds of things and express those to those near you, to your spouse, to your friends, brothers and sisters here in Christ? And should we? Well, what do we complain about as Christians? You know, Bill and I call on the phone sometimes in the morning and we talk, and we have to utter our complaints sometimes about things. Well, you can utter your complaints about financial troubles that maybe that you're facing, or pain in your body, or something's really not going right in your body. You wish it would work. It's not working. Or you could complain about relationships, or, you know, people aren't doing what you think they should be doing, what you think is right. Sometimes you have husbands complaining about wives, wives complaining about husbands. Probably never happens here, though. No. Troubled relationships. We complain about the state of the world. Oh, the moral decline in culture. Oh, the government. They are so corrupt. They're not doing the right thing. Oh, we can complain about a lot these days. I think we all do. You can complain about the weather. Oh, it's too hot today. Or it's too cold today. Or the price of eggs. Have you seen how much they cost? So there's all kinds of things. You know, getting older, coming towards the end of our life, or when you're young and, oh my goodness, all the troubles and confusions that go with the passions of youth. Oh, that's so troubling. So we can and do complain to each other about these things. The question I have is, should we? Should we be complaining to each other? Well, yeah, actually, a little bit. It's healthy, right? You can't go around stuffing all this stuff all the time, ready to explode like a volcano. You got to vent. You've got to get things off your chest that are troubling you. You've got to share with each other. And we do. And actually, we should a bit, if it's done in a healthy way, so that we can feel at peace and have mutual comfort from each other. To borrow a verse from Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is one way we help each other, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. And Proverbs 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So sometimes we share these things with each other in order to heal. But don't over-complain much, or in a negative way, or as a griper or a grumbler. Who likes to hang around a grumbler? Everything's bad, and they delight in just sharing the negative news of the day. Oh, this is terrible. Isn't that terrible? You know what's going to happen? Pretty soon you're going to hear crickets, because nobody wants to hang around you. You're an unbearable person. You're a negative killjoy. It's a very bad habit, and subject for another sermon, God speaks against that kind of grumbling and griping with each other too. We should not engage in that kind of thing. But, you know, we need to complain some to each other for health, for sharing, for mutual comfort, get things off our chest, vent, so that we can go on and hopefully in a more peaceful, happy way. Because we got to be bright in this world. We have enough trouble in the world already to deal with without having to deal with complainers and grumblers, either inside of ourselves or in other people. It turns things very dark. We need to stay bright and of good cheer in these days as Christians. So let's put away a complaining attitude, but just share with each other our complaints in a healthy way as we can, as we need to, for our, you know, peace of mind and mutual comfort. So now let's get on to the real subject for today about what about complaining to God? Should we complain to the Almighty? Should we pour out our troubles, our heart's concerns, to God, your creator above? Is that something he likes? Is that something he wants? Well, okay, you say yes. How about this? Is it okay to express your anger to God? Yeah, okay, we'll look at that. Is it okay to express anger at God? To do that second definition, charge God with wrong and bring him up on an indictment that he's at fault. There's something wrong with him because of the troubles you're expressing. You can see that this is a question that's not just a one-sentence answer, right? There, and I'll give you the one sentence, this is the answer right here, is that there is a right way and a wrong way to complain according to Scripture. There is a way that incites God to anger and provokes him, and there is a way that he absolutely delights in and encourages you to do. So there's a good complaining and a bad complaining. Let's take a look at the good and the bad so we can discern and know which way to go and how to do it. So let's start with the bad so we can end on a positive, okay? Here's the wrong. The wrong way to complain, according to Scripture, is when we complain to the Almighty, when we complain to God in a way that's not born out of faith, but is rather born out of unbelief. In a way that we grumble against God, gripe against him for our problems, and even charge God with wrong for the troubles that we're facing in life. You ever do that? We should not. Why? Because the Bible says that is wrong. In fact, it's a sin. Who was the first complainer in the Bible, by the way? You think? Who's the first of anybody? Adam, right? I mean, he sinned. He's facing huge trouble for eating of the forbidden fruit. God finds him. Where are you, Adam? Oh, I'm over here in these bushes. Who told you, Adam, that you are naked? Have you eaten of that tree from which I commanded you you shall not eat? And what does Adam say to God? This is the first complaint in the Bible. He says, the woman that you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit and I ate. What is he doing? Passing the buck. Putting the blame on the girl. But really not just that, right? The woman you, God, gave me, she made me eat. It's your fault. Was that a good thing to do? Would you do that to God? Go to the Creator? When you're at fault, you're caught in an offense, you're in a crime, Well, yeah, but it's really your fault, God, because you gave me a girl. You gave me the woman. It was her fault, and it's really your fault. That is a complaint to God, born of unbelief, where you're claiming to be the judge and calling God to account to you for your sense of right, and you're blaming him and calling him guilty. That is a sin, and it is an amazing miracle of God. He didn't strike Adam dead on the spot for that, but God is gracious, and God even clothed him, and God kept him alive, and God promised a savior through the seed of the woman, etc., but it's still wrong what Adam did. It was not born of faith. Let's take a look at another complaint. And actually, Bill, and the reason I'm preaching this is Bill and I were talking on the phone, like a month ago. You're saying, Pastor, I just finished reading the book of Numbers. It seems like the people just complained the whole time. Well, let's take a look at that. For example, in Israel, or the people of Israel, when they're in Egypt, God sent Moses to save them from the hand of Pharaoh. And God's starting to work wonders to set them free, but what do we read? Let my people go. We've already got a stick being cast on the ground and doing miracles with that, but what do the people say? The people said to Moses and Aaron when they came out from Pharaoh, the Lord judge between, look upon you and judge, because you've made us offensive in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hands to kill us. I'm here to save you and set you free. Oh, you're a big troublemaker, Moses. They're complaining to him. Did they learn their lesson? God sets them free. God actually is gracious to them. He doesn't strike them for that. He works wonders. Then he leads them, friends, through the Red Sea. Can you imagine the Atlantic Ocean out here opening up and you walking through on dry ground? They had victory. But what do we read in Exodus 15:23? Then Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, that great miracle. They went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days, say 3 days, into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So notice, would you do that? You just walk through the Atlantic Ocean, which was a wall on either side. You see whales and dolphins swimming at your right hand and your left, if you will. They come through. God drowns all their enemies. They're set free. Obviously, God's with them. And 3 days later, we're thirsty. We complain against you, God. That was a terrible thing. God then had Moses cast a piece of wood into the water there, and it became sweet, which is, by the way, I believe a foreshadowing of the cross. But then, do you think they learned their lesson? Exodus 16, verse 2, next chapter, the whole congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, basically, we're hungry now. Can you imagine driving a 40-hour trip across country and all your kids did was complain all the time? You ever done that? Well, exactly. We wish we had all the food, the flesh pots, and the bread we ate in full in Egypt, but now we're here just perishing in hunger. Well, so God sent them a whole bunch of quails till they were sick of the quails. But then we see the next thing that happened, more or less, they grumbled again. The people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. Oh, this is terrible. I was going to say this sucks, but you're not supposed to say that in a sermon, so I won't say that. They said, we hate being out here in the wilderness. This is not working. We don't like this. And so the anger of the Lord burned against them this time and consumed the outlying parts of the camp. You know, you're provoking God to anger when you grumble like this. But he then helped them again. Numbers 14, they sent out scouts to scout the land of Egypt. They come, the land of the promised land. They come back and say, there are giants there. And the people said, we're afraid. Let's choose a captain and go back to Egypt. They grumbled again. And God was angry. Numbers 16, Korah then rebelled. I'll be your captain. I'll lead you back. God was so wroth with them. He had the ground split open. Korah goes down to Sheol alive. And the people are like, oh, the Lord, the Lord. But we read the next morning, the next day, Next day, all the congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You've killed the people of the Lord." Can you believe this? Grumbling, malcontents, gripers, badgering God the whole way, provoking him to anger with their complaints, not born of faith. And then Numbers 21, they complained, "Well, yeah, you're giving us supernatural food, God, from heaven, the food of the angels, but it's boring. We don't like it. We should go back to Egypt. It was much more better food, fast food there." Well, the Lord then sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many of the people died. Of course, then he gets the bronze serpent and saves his people, again foreshadowing Christ. But come on! It's like grumbling, complaining, griping the whole way to the promised land. Psalm 106 says, "They murmured in their tents and didn't obey the voice of the Lord because they despised the pleasant land and had no faith in his promise." Again, Psalm 78, "They had no faith in God and did not trust his saving power." So we should not complain to God where it is not coming from faith but unbelief. Griping, complaining, charging God with wrong, grumbling about our lot all the way to heaven. Man, you're testing God's patience when you do this. But it can be a temptation to all of us. Amen? Have you done this? Job, even, when he lost his children and so much of his wealth, we read that Job did not charge God with wrong or sin with his lips. Good job, Job. Until things got hotter and more fierce for a long time, and he started to hint that there might be some injustice in God. What was God's answer to that? God then came in a whirlwind, basically, and slammed Job for four chapters, reminding him, "I'm the creator, you're the created, you're not to be charging me with wrong. Will you even put me in the wrong, Job? Will you even condemn me that you may be justified?" And finally, at the end of that, Job was like, "Whoa, so sorry, God. I know you can do all things. Your purposes can't be thwarted. Therefore, I uttered things too I didn't understand, too wonderful for me, which I didn't know. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And God was gracious and gave Job even now twice as much as he had before. But don't put the Lord to the test or charge him with wrong or accuse him or be angry and shake your fist at him. Why? It's always wrong. Why? Because God is always in the right. You know, the rock, his way is perfect and all his paths are justice. You know, why did Adam complain against God? Look at Jeremiah 2. "Why do you complain against me, says the Lord? You have all rebelled against me. You're suffering for your wrongdoings." And the house of Israel says, "The way of the Lord isn't just." But God says, "O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are unjust?" See how God has to speak with his people like a father or a dad in the car with his children. "You're complaining about food and water? Isn't it your ways that are unjust? Is it not my ways that are just?" So even if we suffer for not doing any wrong of our own, like Job, just for our righteousness because of a test going on in heavenly unseen places, what does God want us to do? Trust him. Father knows best. Even if you don't understand my justice or what I'm doing, trust me. Put your faith in me. Have saving faith in my power that I'm working good for you. This God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for those who take refuge in him. And in everything, God's working for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? You know, if we do, that's going to put a kibosh on bad complaining. But sometimes God seems to not be working the way we think he should. Luther said, it's like a printing press. You know, you go to the printing press in the old days and the guy's laying all the print. And someone walks up and says, "This is all backwards. How can you be a good printer? This is complete dyslexia going on here. This is the wrong direction. Everything's messed up," until the printer comes out and it looks perfect in the end. God says, "I'm working you good in the end, even if right now it doesn't look good." To use a modern example, consider the word ambulance. If you are putting decals and writing ambulance on there, what's it going to look like? You don't know what you're doing. It says Eknalumba. You have no idea. It's Eknalumba. What is this, a degree you have in college or something? No. You're doing it all wrong. Until you get in your car, you're driving down the road, and you look in your rear view, and oh my goodness, it says ambulance the right way. God writes sometimes things very backwards. It seems like he's working unjustly. Trust me, God says. When you look in your rear view and you see what I did, in the end, you're going to see it all spelled it out just perfectly. Trust me in the middle of your problems that I've sent you through the fiery serpents and scorpions and the thirsty ground where there was no water, he said to Israel. I brought you water out of the flinty rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers didn't know, that I might humble you and test you in order to, with the purpose that I might do you good in the end. That's what God's after when we are facing these terrible experiences. I am doing you good. Trust me. You'll see it in the end. And Paul said, therefore, I don't complain of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I can abound or I can be in want in any and all circumstances. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And this slight momentary affliction is preparing for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So speaks faith. So, do all things without grumbling or questioning, says Paul, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So that's the bad complaining. Don't go that way. No grumbling and griping to God or accusing him. He knows what he's doing. He's working for your good. Now let's take a brief look, though, at, is there a good way to complain to God? Is there something that he likes, that he encourages, he delights in and runs to and wants you to do all the time? Complaining to the Lord? Yes. What is that? To complain to God out of faith. In a way where you pour out all of your heart's pains, troubles, discomforts, perplexities, consternations, angst, anger, difficulties, challenges, fears, and you're doing so asking him to help you. Laying your heart before him. Oh God, I don't understand, but give me strength. Give me help. Evening and at morning and at noon, David says in Psalm 55, I utter my complaint and moan, and he will hear my voice. He will deliver my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. Do you know, if you look at the Bible, the Psalms, which is a huge book, 150 of them, 40% of those are complaints. People just complaining to God. What are they complaining about? Well, Psalm 137, pouring out our sorrows. Psalm 140, anger. Psalm 69, fear. Psalm 85, longing. Psalm 102, confusion. Psalm 22, desolation. Psalm 51, repentance. Psalm 12, seeming injustice in the world. In all these things, a prayer of one afflicted, when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to thee. Do you do that? God says, this is the kind I want. I want this from you all the time. Keep coming to me. Lay your heart before me. Tell me your fears. Tell me your anxieties. Tell me what's weighing you down. Tell me what is making you so distraught you can hardly go on. And I'm going to help you. I'll hear those prayers. I love to hear them. In fact, you have to share them with me. Vent to me, God says, and I'll refresh you. I'll lift up your heart. You know, we can get refreshed by confessing to him, I hate the politics that's going on today. Oh, God, save me. My health is going downhill. Oh, God, have mercy upon me. It makes me afraid. Or this relationship is terrible. Oh, God, how can I even get through this? I can't face another day because of the challenges that are before me. He loves to hear these things. Don't you know he knows every hair on your head? He cares about every last little cell in your body. He's given you a fingerprint that is unique to you, and he cares for every detail of your lives. Just the other week, I was feeling tired, weary, not mentally sharp, exhausted. I came in here when nobody else was in the church happily, and I started shouting to God, "Oh God, I want to serve you better. I want to do more, but my mind, it's not sharp. I'm so depleted. God, restore me." And I took a while. And, you know, by the time I left, he'd refreshed my heart at least some. Next morning I woke up, I felt much better. He answers us when we cry out to him. Jeremiah said, "I am so bitter that I have forgotten what happiness is." But then God refreshed him, saying, "Look, my mercies are new to you every morning. Great is my faithfulness." And God says to you, in your confessing of your heart's cares to him, "O afflicted one," this is Isaiah 54, "O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, look, I'm going to set your stones in intimacy and lay your foundations with sapphires. I'm laying a great future for you. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, for terror shall not come near you. For when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers, they're not going to overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, to be with you, to help you through this troubled time, to get you through and to bring you out alive on the other side." This is what God gives us when we pour out our hearts to him, that we might say, "Well, this is just a slight momentary affliction. It's preparing for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." One more word here. Jesus Christ himself, our Lord, our Savior, our King and our friend, how did he conquer everything? It was by pouring out his complaints to God. Listen to this. He says, John 12, "Now is my soul troubled, like a storm. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He lays it before the Lord. "No, for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." A complaint born of faith. And God answered him with two angels strengthening him. At another time when he prayed this, and gave him the power to go forward unflinchingly to the cross, to conquer sin, death, and the devil for us there, and to win for us the victory in his resurrection. The complaint of faith in the Savior enabled him, God, to give, that is, renewed strength, hope, and courage to Jesus to win everything for us, and he has. And we can get strength the same way. So, is it ever right to complain to God? Yes. Is it always right to complain to God? No. There's a good way, and there's a bad way. There's the way not of faith, which is this griping and complaining and grumbling, "Don't do that," that provokes God to anger. But go after the one that's good. "Come on," God says, "give it to me, give it to me. I encourage you, lay it before me. What's troubling you today, my children? Speak it to me, and I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to give you the strength to get through it. I'm going to refresh your spirit. You're going to know that I'm with you, and I'm going to bring you out to victory. And whatever it looks like today, trust me. I'm doing you good. It'll be good for you in the end, and you'll see in the end. In the meantime, then, let's pray. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. He will bring me forth to the light. I shall behold his deliverance." Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, "Is It Ever Okay to Complain to God?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.